Mrazek. Let's bring in Jamie McLennan from Overdrive. Noodles, welcome. How are you today?
Not too bad. How's everyone today?
Everybody's doing well, and yeah, sifting through the new puzzle pieces. And so when we talk about developing stories, you've got all those four words, and really it's two on the top two side, the left side of the top two lines, and the six that play under. I'm going to leave the defense alone because it's pretty well status quo, but then you've got the developing goaltending chemistry as well. Interesting that they went this way, and I applaud them for it. What are your thoughts on what they did?
I like Mrazek. I thought he was, for me, a top target not only for Toronto but some other teams out there as far as when you're in a tandem situation. So I circle a team like Edmonton who was looking to upgrade if they could move past Koskinen because they like Smith and they like the leadership from Smith and the way that he handles the puck and speeds up their defense. But you know, I would think that Mrazek was a guy that they would have targeted. Maybe Philadelphia would have looked at that scenario as well. And it was musical chairs. And as we sat by, I mean, Kristen was with me in the free agency room, and Tatman, I'm sure you were watching, but it was, you could just see how quickly goaltenders were being snapped up, and it was moving at a rapid pace. So if you had a plan A and a plan B and a plan C, because you might have gotten to that where you had offers in and it didn't get accepted, I thought Kyle came out looking pretty good in a scenario where, I said this before, you had more of a traditional starter in Frederik Andersen and a backup in Jack Campbell. Campbell pushed through to show you he can get more minutes last year. So they pivoted from a starter backup to a tandem situation. So, you know, Mrazek to me was a top tandem goaltender that was available, and they were able to get him. I thought it was a reasonable contract. I Jonathan Bernier got 4.125. Now he's going to get some hazard pay going to New Jersey, and that market's a lot different. But you know, to get Mrazek under 4 on a 3-year term, I really like the deal. He's still got a lot more runway. It's not like he's 37 years old and kind of been through the ringer of the league. Like he's late 20s, still has lots of good hockey left. And now you've got an open net; those two will battle it out for ice time.
Well, Jamie, when you think about the season that Jack Campbell had, let's call that the best that Jack Campbell's ever looked.
Yeah.
Think about the best from Peter Mrazek. If let's say both guys are at their best level, who is the starter on October 13th for the Leafs?
For me personally, I think Mrazek is a slight better goaltender than Campbell. Now that being said, they both run hot and cold. And I kind of joke that Steve Briere, their goaltender coach, is going to have his hands full because both of these guys don't rely as much on structure as they rely on just battling to stop the puck. I think Campbell has a little bit more structure than Mrazek, but when you watch Mrazek, he's not a big body, but he battles. He works in the net. So sometimes if you run hot and you run cold, there'll be a time where we're talking this year where Mrazek's on a heater. Like this guy, you know, he's got to start 5 in a row because he's playing that well. That being said, if he cools off a bit, now it's a scenario where maybe Jack can go on a run. But both of these goaltenders, they're not Freddy. They're not a 6'4" big body that just kind of is real mechanical in the net, makes things look easy when his game is on. You know, they work in the net. So you're going to see a little different dynamic. And when they're both at their best, Mrazek, for some reason, I think he's just got a little bit more flash to him. Now, it may not be that he's better. It's just that sometimes he makes it look better. I used to joke that my old goalie partner, Grant Fear, he'd get scored on and he would look amazing. He would make it look amazing. And that's kind of how Peter has that flash in his game. And you'll see it. I think he'll be a crowd favorite, as Jack is too. He's just such a likable guy. Mrazek's an emotional guy that you'll be able to kind of really gravitate towards.
Jamie, take us behind the scenes. I mean, the chemistry of a tandem, what makes it work and what can get in the way of it working?
I have no problem with the competitive nature where the guys want the net. But you also have to be respectful where you're not hampering the other player. If you have a tandem and there's respect between the two, it's support. Because when you look at it, outside of the goaltender coach, you're the only two in the room that understands goaltending. The other guys, they just sit there and go, stop the puck. We don't care how you do it. Just go and stop the puck. Whereas your partner is kind of the only guy you can lean on to what he knows what you're going through on a particular night, in a particular week, you name it. So you have to be able to rely on each other. I like the word healthy competition because I think there is such thing as a healthy competition. Throughout my career, 17 years pro, I only had one partner that was disruptive. And I actually ended up confronting him and just saying, like, I know you want the net. I want the net as well. But that doesn't mean we can't be friends off the ice. That doesn't mean we can't support each other. And when I confronted him about a month into the season, we ended up being a very close tandem. So it's more about just if you have conflicting relationships, it's not a problem as long as you support each other and be good pros. And I don't see a problem with either one of these guys supporting each other during the season.
Noodles, did the Carolina Hurricanes overpay for Frederik Anderson?
I don't think so. The reason being is you see the marketplace out there, and it's almost like you're looking at tiers, okay? So is Freddie, would you consider him a starting goaltender? I would. And how many starting goaltenders were available yesterday? I guess it would be Grubauer. It would be Allmark, if you believe the sample size of Allmark and his underlying numbers. And then there's Freddie Anderson. And then there's some former starters that were available and guys like Holtby who got bought out and, you know, kind of guys who had kind of on the other side. Halak is a former starter, guys like that. So I looked at the marketplace. I thought it was a nice contract for Freddie. And then, again, I pointed out, you know, Jersey gives Bernier something with a four in it. So I didn't think the term or the number was bad at all. In fact, in looking at it this morning, I think they got a good deal, $4.5 million for a two-year deal, and then they also got Antti Raanta. That tandem, if they're healthy, is real sharp in Carolina, if you ask me.
Noodles, if you look down the highway and you see the Buffalo Sabres, you have to say, no guy. I mean, I don't know what they were thinking, but they just, I mean, they did some last-minute shopping last night for goalies, but man, this has disaster written all over it, doesn't it?
Well, it has rebuild. To me, and I know this is an organization that's been in a rebuild and all of that, but, I mean, that's not Kevin Adams' fault. Kevin Adams has been on the job 1 year, and he's basically inherited, you know, somewhat of a mess, and he's trying to clean it up. I don't know if you guys saw the Zoom call for Sam Reinhart. He was almost climbing through the computer. He was so excited to get to Florida. You know, like, those guys, there's been some hazard pay that has to be handed out for some of the stuff that they've gone through in Buffalo. Just, you know, they had such a tough year with COVID and everything. And, you know, even last summer, I liked some of their moves. It just didn't work out. But ultimately, there's the elephant in the room in Jack Eichel, and what are you going to do with that? To me, there's two teams that are openly, you know, hey, we're going to kind of flush this out and see what a high draft pick looks like next year, and that's going to be Buffalo. And Arizona is just in a fire sale right now, looking to pick up as many picks. And, you know, I thought they did very well with Colorado at getting a first and a third and Timmins. You know, to me, Arizona kind of had Colorado over a barrel once Grubauer moved on to Seattle. So, you know, I think those two teams are openly tanking, and then everyone else is trying to get better. So, bargain bin, all signs had pointed to Craig Anderson. Even his media is like, yeah, I'm retiring. And all of a sudden, Buffalo signs him yesterday on a one-year deal at $750. So it looks like he's coming out of retirement to play for them.
Well, and just to follow up on that, I mean, at this point, can Jack Eichel go back to Buffalo? Like, can he? Have they painted themselves into a corner here where it's like, we got to move him now after all this?
I think so. And I don't know if this is, like, I'm not laying this all at Buffalo's feet. I think Jack Eichel has to be culpable in this situation as well. I'm not privy to the injury or the nature of it, so I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to guess on that. But to me, it takes two to tango here. And you know, I haven't been put behind the curtain to know exactly what the situation is. But, you know, Eichel's a guy who has to own some of this as well. He's a fantastic player. Don't get me wrong. I think he's a top 10 centerman in the world. But, you know, he's a guy that has been part of that culture as well. and he has to own this. I don't know how much. I won't lay blame in the percentages, but I think that relationship is fractured and done. And to the point where Kevin Adams was like, I don't know if he's in Buffalo and skating or not. We don't have that information. So usually if you have a top-tier player, if that was Austin Matthews and he had an injury, Kyle Dubas would know his whereabouts every second of the day. And Kristen, you know how good that training staff is. And Dr. Noah Foreman, who doesn't get enough love. I love him as much as anybody. Like, he's on top of everything. So I don't know what's going on with Buffalo, but I think there's a lot of blame to go around. And ultimately, I think they're going to have to move away from Jack. But the question is, what do you get for him? And the return, is it ever going to be good enough?
Noodles, circling back to the Leafs, we're not going to escape the scrutiny on the top four forwards. So here's one thing I want to throw at you. When people depart, so when Zach Hyman leaves, when Freddie Anderson leaves, these guys are, they're buddies, right? They're friends, and everybody understands that they really couldn't afford to re-sign either one of them. It would have been a stretch. So if you're in that top four and your buddy has to leave, I mean, that puts even more pressure on you to understand, your role with the team. You have to get it done. Do you agree with that?
I do, but I think the pressure, this market comes with pressure, and I think they welcome that. I think when you sign a big contract and you've gone out and, statistically earned it, I know the success hasn't been there, but Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner had unbelievable regular seasons. That William Nylander is right on par financially. John Tavares was unrestricted. They landed the Golden Goose in unrestricted free agency. They just haven't delivered in the playoffs. And I say yet, because it's a work in progress. But yeah, is there pressure there? There has to be pressure every year, Tatman, because you look at the year before, it's Kapanen. Like, how would this team look a lot different if Kapanen and Janssen were on it? And both of those guys are making 3+. Like, you can't afford in the cycle to keep on your third line guys who are making that much money because of a flat cap. And it's unfortunate. So there are cap casualties every year. If you went back in revisionist history, wouldn't this team look a lot better with Kapanen and Janssen on it? I think they'd look deeper. I think they'd look more dynamic, and you'd be talking about a top nine instead of just a top, I guess, one and a half. When Kristen, you were talking about the top four, the down the middle and on the right side. The left side's a work in progress. The third line, before you brought me in, you were talking about opportunity for players like Kampf and Bunting and Mikheyev and Engvall to grow. This is why you have to have that type of players allowed to grow on cheaper contracts, because you've spent a lot of money in the top of your roster.
Okay, we'll play a little confirm or deny right
sure.
now. The going into the season, the power rankings of Atlantic Division teams right now are the Tampa Bay Lightning, the Florida Panthers, the Boston Bruins, and at number four, the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah, I would say I'm not sleeping on Montreal. I know people think that Montreal's junk. They wouldn't have made the playoffs. Well, yeah, Carey Price got hurt. Shea Weber was hurt. Brendan Gallagher was hurt for a good chunk of the season last year. And they didn't have Caulfield in the lineup. Suzuki was taking another step. Like, I look at this team, and, with Weber and Price's knee injury, could they struggle? Sure. But they also could be full of confidence and go, this is how we want to play. We know we can play with anybody. Like, I think this is a team that could be right there. And I'll say confirm it, but I'm going to say, it's not going to be an easy four for them. And who knows? The Leafs could go a bit higher, and here's why. Stopping pucks in Boston might be a lot tougher than just adding Linus Allmark to your mix. It might look a little different, because Tuukka Rask, for me, is an elite goaltender. Halak is a fantastic, 1A, more backup guy, but he gives you very good minutes. That goaltending situation is going to look a lot different in Boston. It might take them a bit to settle in. And, there has been a little bit of turnover. Foligno going in there. They step away from Nick Ritchie. you know, what are they going to do with Jake DeBrusk there? He's a guy who really stubbed his toe. So there's some question marks in Boston. There might even be question marks in Tampa based on that third line, you know, not being available. Like, third line's gone. They disappeared into thin air. They're in Calgary. They're in Seattle. And they're in the New York Rangers. So, you know, there might be some guys that have to push through. But I could say that the Leafs, are they going to be in that top four? I would say I hope so, and I think they will. But I still think Kyle has some work to do here this summer. Like, I don't think he's icing this team and being confident that they can go deep into the playoffs. He's got to add some more depth here.
Jamie, thanks for your time. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.